Hey, everybody. We are back. This is episode 7 of South Geek News, recorded Wednesday, December the 4th, 2024. You got me, Donovan, and you got Ben over there, hey. As usual. So I'm going to ask you, because I got a couple of things to talk about, but since the last time that we broke bread together, and we didn't actually break bread, we're sitting around microphones, so if a microphone is bread, okay, I'm going to just forget.
I was like, shit, when did we go to Applebee's?
Yeah, that's been a while. Last time I actually went to, I was there with another friend of mine, the one I told you I had to upgrade all of his Wi-Fi stuff to Wi-Fi 7.
Yeah.
So you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Drove up Wednesday, spent Thursday, drove back Friday.
That's a hell of a drive.
It is.
What was it, 7 hours, 8 hours?
About 8.5 with good traffic. Mm. So it was about 9.5 up there and 8.5 back. It was perfect on Friday. We used to come back on that Sunday when everybody's on the road. But so Friday, Black Friday is the best time to shoot through South Carolina.
It's amazing, too, because I imagine knowing that the majority of people, there's still going to be people that are going to like your stores, like your Walmart, and your Target and all of that for Black Friday sales. But there's this one YouTube channel. I cannot remember the name of it. I think it's called, maybe it's Future Proof. Anyway, they talk about a lot of different things, you know, just a wide variety of topics. And so there was a video that I watched a day or two ago, and they were talking about Cyber Monday and how it's no longer relevant because basically Cyber Monday has become Cyber Week starting the week before Black Friday. And that you don't see all of these big, huge surge of people going into stores anymore, mainly because of the fact that you can pretty much get anything you want, just order it online and have it dropped.
Yeah.
You know,
people just stay home on Black Friday, hang out with the family, and they think of something, they just open their phone and add it to the cart.
Yeah.
And they're done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guilty. I've done it.
However, we were coming back and we hit 95 and I-16 close to Savannah. There's a Tanger outlet there, packed.
Really?
And the road that goes around the parking lot, full.
Mm.
And so I tapped my daughter and showed, cause she wanted to, can we stop by a bookstore on the way home?
Do you really want to?
So I tapped her and I was like, look, we are not going.
I don't blame you.
We did not stop.
Yeah. I do not like crowds. And
I will say, I got home one tank of fuel.
Like up there and back?
No.
Oh, okay.
One way. Yeah.
So, yeah, fill up to go up there, fill up and come back.
Yeah. Started the trip meter on the way back just so I could actually see how many. We've done that trip for 20 years and I don't know how far it is.
What's your miles per gallon in that?
About 24-ish.
I mean, consider it's a diesel.
It's four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
It's not four all the time though.
No.
Yeah. No. I mean
it's got all the part of it.
Yeah.
Just adds to the weight.
Yeah.
And the height of it takes away from
it's not
any
very,
kind of aerodynamics.
I was gonna say it's not very aerodynamic. None of the trucks are because it's like, you know, you're running a wall straight into the air.
Well, you know, some of the air comes through the wall to cool the engine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the greatest.
Well, for its size, it's a full size truck, so that's not bad. I mean, my frontiers, I guess, are considered midsize. So I had a 2009 Frontier and then traded it in 2012 for the Ford Focus because of the traveling back and forth between here and Fitzgerald, you know, when gas was approaching $4 a gallon back in the day. And I think the Frontier got like 26, maybe. Yeah. I mean, it was gas, but damn, I miss that truck. That was a nice truck and it would get up and go. You floor it and you're sitting back there and the truck is already a mile down the road.
Did you have the V6?
No, I think I had a four cylinder. I think.
My dad's got a 09 Frontier V6.
Yeah.
Thing rides like brand new.
Yeah, mine was a four door. I had the four, I don't know, do they call that the cab crew or?
The crew cab?
Crew cab.
I don't know what to call it.
Anyway, I had the four doors, so.
Like four front hinge doors?
Yep. You know, standard driver, passenger, and then right behind. I'm like driving a car with four doors. And then the bed. And then the tailgate let down, and then I had that metal thing that would come over the catch or whatever. The
extender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had that too. I mean, at the time in 09, it was $28,000. So it wasn't a bad price. Now.
Oh, man. We looked at a Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
Just first one we saw on the lot, just walked up to it. It's 49.
It's only going to get worse.
Only because people keep paying them. I mean, I paid what I paid for that truck out there.
I know. No, what I'm saying is one little political, you know, little side tour here is the whole tariff bullshit. It's only going to get worse if he actually does what he's claiming that he's going to do.
He can't. I'm not saying he's not politically.
He's going to tank the economy.
I'm not saying he's not allowed to. I'm saying if he puts tariffs on everything that comes from China, I'm not selling a fucking thing in 25. Every piece of computer equipment that we provide that our clients want to buy, no matter if I get it or if client buys it, it's going to be from China. We simply don't make those things.
Tyler let us know yesterday he bought a new Synology. He's already got the 8-bay one here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not.
It's not there. So he got a 12-bay one. Now, he got one used. And of course, when he got it, it didn't work. He opened it up. He figured out basically it was just a pin in one of the power cables connectors inside. And so he managed to. Okay.
Hope you got a good deal on it.
I think he said he got it for half what it would normally cost. And then he went with recertified 14, because he bought two spares, 14 12 terabyte drives at roughly $104 each drive. Brand new drives are over $400.
Yeah. Well, the Synology drives?
Yeah.
Or...
You know, well, no, he didn't get Synology. No. But the actual Synology drives, 12 terabytes, are over $400, which is ridiculous. And his unit is one of those that it will take the non-Synology drives, but it bitches.
Yeah, they all do.
But he found, well, mine doesn't. And his 8-bay doesn't. But there's a script on GitHub that you can go in and it adds your drives to the database, and then it stops it from bitching. He said it even do stuff like his has got a Xeon processor in it, and it's got 16 gigs of RAM. They also have a script that'll let him put in non Synology RAM in the unit and go up to 48 gigs if he wanted to
do some virtualization.
Yeah, I mean it supports VMs and all of that. But I said why? He said tariffs. He said because of the potential of what could be happening in 2025, yeah. He said November was quite heavy for me when it came to tech purchases. And that's when I said, yeah, I wish I had the funds to just like buy a shit ton of SSDs right now, like 1 and 2 terabytes.
I buy 5 at a time. I probably should have bought more when I bought. I might just place an order.
What do you buy?
This last time I just bought the BX500 series, 1 terabyte.
All right. I stick with Samsung.
I've had 2 Samsungs have replaced past month. One of them I replaced today. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying, yeah, that's weird.
Well, I used to go with ADATA. And if you got the SU800 ADATAs, you're pretty good. If you got like the 655s or whatever, you might as well just go ahead and throw it away and go buy an SU800 because the 655 is going to fail on you. And ADATA was pretty good about replacing those. Matter of fact, I would send in a defective 655, they sent me back an 800. I'm like, hell yeah. Well, problem was the ADATA's got expensive. And I don't know why, because Samsung is actually considered one of the top tier,
right?
You know, when it comes to drives. So example, an 870 EVO SATA 3 SSD 1 terabyte is currently $100. All right, so if I look at an ADATA SU800, okay, they've come back down because that one's now like $103. But there was a time, I think I was buying 1 terabyte 870s for somewhere around about $70 or $80. So they're already starting to edge up, and I don't have one of those where I know there's sites out there that will track the prices, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would buy about 10 of these bastards right now if I could swing it, but I can't have that kind of inventory just sitting here aging out, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm at the whims of whatever it's going to be come 2025. But I'm with you on that. And I don't know if you've seen the latest, and this still affects us. So this is not a political discussion.
Yeah.
China, I think they said this yesterday, or it was this morning I read.
They're clamping down on raw materials.
You saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every damn thing that is required for us to make smartphones and processors and chips and on all that. It was like, nope, you're not getting them anymore. And it's like, uh-huh, yeah, this is exactly what we thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, retaliation was...
Because they supply over 60% of that to the world. There, you can't find that shit anywhere else.
You're going to have to go to Canada and dig. I think that's where we're going to find it.
Well, you know, Trump does want to make Canada the 51st state.
Yeah, or not.
Anything else other than Thanksgiving?
No, I'm just catching up after a couple of weeks of battling attention. It's not attention deficit. It's attention management issues.
Oh, you mean because you kept falling down the AI rabbit hole?
That, and I've gotten behind and felt overwhelmed and gotten that, well, might as well not even fucking do anything.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't finish one thing, I might as well not start anything. And then
I can appreciate that.
And then you kind of sit in depression because it's 3 o'clock and you've done nothing. You got the rest of the day to go. There's not enough time to start now.
Nope.
Well, get high. I don't get high in the middle of the day.
No, I know.
But, you know, that. But this week kind of turned around.
I have weeks like that. But here's the thing that I try to do. I hope that December is always slow, because the way I view December is once you get to December, it's coasting time.
If that's how you do it.
Well, it's time to reflect on the previous 11 months. Now, that's not to say that I don't have work. It's just that I do my best to put off any new projects that don't need to be a year, you know, a 2024 expense for the client. I'm like, let's do it in January, February. And most of the time they're like, okay, because I'm fortunate enough that, I guess it's fortunate, I don't know, none of my clients operate under the premise of, I've got to get this money spent in this calendar year. None of them do that.
All but one of mine do.
And if I'm wrong, they've never told me, because they've never come to me and said, look, we allocated this amount of money for the budget for this year. We haven't spent it. What can we do?
Yeah.
I've never had that.
No, I'm probably going to do 400% of a normal month this month in revenue.
Yeah.
That's just because I'm replacing almost all of the Sonic walls I've got in production. Maybe doing some desktop upgrades and it'll at least be paid for.
I mean, now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not wanting to see what these little PCs I've started using with the B-Links and all. Those are beautiful price points. And God, if they go up by another $100 or $200, I don't know. They're still cheaper than buying like a Dell or HP or anything like that. And they work just as well, if not better. So.
Putting a 200% tariff on items coming from China is going to. Just a blanket tariff is going to cripple companies.
Yeah.
You can't source. Where do they make, where does NVIDIA make their chips?
I cannot answer that.
Is it in the United States?
See, Tyler actually said that he saw a list of companies that were going to be affected. Apple is going to be the least, is one of the companies that's not going to be affected as badly in certain product lines. And that's because the first time the bozo tried to do this kind of nonsense, they got smart and moved some of their production to India. And then there's other places, like a lot of productions in Vietnam and places like that. Where does NVIDIA make its chips? They are a fabulous. I think TSMC makes.
So in Taiwan?
Primary manufacturer is Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing. Yeah, it's TSMC. Yeah. So it's in Taiwan.
It's going to be in Arizona in a few years.
True. And the question came up. I saw it. Will Trump realize that Taiwan's not China? Or will he treat Taiwan as China?
Well, if we don't like China, we don't have to respect their claim on Taiwan.
Yeah. Well, we already don't.
The answer is no.
But that was the question. It was like, knowing his mindset, will he go, oh, well, that's just China too. I mean, what's next? Japan is part of it.
Come on. We have a balance of power. It's not going to be a dictator. You really think it will?
I love you, my friend.
Do you really think it will? Look.
Did you see what happened in South Korea yesterday?
Yeah, I've already heard that it's over.
It is over. But the first thing that came to us, and even Lee said that, was like, oh, God, he just gave Trump the roadmap to attempt something like this. And I'm like, I hope not.
No.
I hope not.
That will never happen.
I will concede this. I'm hoping that it's a lot of bluster. I'm hoping that there's still enough guardrails in place to keep him from driving this entire thing off the proverbial cliff. Like, I hope.
If we can't get new computers and network equipment to replace our aging infrastructure.
Yeah.
I mean, we're fucked.
I know.
Like, we'll be pretty screwed pretty quickly. Now, we should have started making chips beginning in 2020 when the whole supply chains around the world fell apart.
Right.
That's when we should have gone, we need to start making.
Well, that's the whole reason why we have the CHIPS Act that Biden signed. And that was the whole point, is to provide money for building fabs here in the United States.
Yeah.
But it takes so damn long to build a fab facility.
It's so funny. Where are the fab facilities that we vacated when everybody outsourced in the early aughts?
Did we ever really make?
Yes.
Are you sure? Because here's the reason why I'm asking. I saw a documentary the other day, short little documentary on the Commodore 64. Those chips were not made in the United States. They were made in Germany. So I'm not aware.
I'll have to go look at my comment.
I'm not aware of the United States actually having top quality fab facilities.
I think Intel has had some in the past or early on.
If anybody, I would think they would be the ones. Yeah. But I mean, they can't fab shit right now, even with what they have.
They can't find a CEO.
That's true. They fired him.
What is it with CEOs just exiting all of a sudden?
Well, you had an exit from that one. And then United Health, he did his own exit by getting killed this morning.
Yeah. And the CEO of Stellantis is stepping down. He's like, yeah. Well, this shit didn't work out.
Yeah.
So peace.
I don't know.
And I've heard Nissan is in trouble and I can't figure out the story there.
Yeah. That concerns me. We've got
CEOs just packing their shit.
Nissan, the one thing I read about Nissan, they're hoping that they can work out some agreement with, don't quote me on this, but I think it's Toyota. They're some kind of like development of a new vehicle or maybe EVs or something. I don't know. The thing that got me was when I saw that somebody in the higher up, I don't know if it was the CEO or who, said they have about 12 to 14 months to figure this out. And I'm like, I don't like the sound of that, because I have a client that is a Nissan dealership. They're in my top two. What are they going
to
do?
Switch to Hyundai. We don't have a Hyundai dealership here.
Yeah.
And use one.
I don't care who they deal for, as long as they keep going. That's right. All I need.
Yeah. I don't need some global catastrophe to fuck it up down here in our little small town.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so two things before we get into the stories. I got another True Vista story for you.
Like something that has happened?
Yeah. And I can't remember if we haven't been on chat here lately. I know I've talked to Tyler about this. So one of my clients, I get a phone call from them, and I'm trying to remember what it was she actually asked me. And it was on a Friday morning. And, you know, I'm closed on Fridays unless it's an emergency or I have to schedule it because, well, that's the day we have to schedule something. Mm-hmm. And so she was asking me, she said, look, we just moved over from Mediacom to True Vista. And I was like, okay. And what it was is it didn't have anything to do with the True Vista service, what she was calling me about. They had two workstations up front. It's a small heating and cooling company. Mm-hmm. Two workstations up front. One of them was having trouble accessing certain stuff. And so the first thing she told me was, It can't get to the internet. Well, I'll go into my dashboard. I see it's in the dashboard. I remote into it. And I'm like, it can get to the internet. What's going on here? Come to find out. Now, these are Dells that Tyler and I helped put in for them. They'd already bought them. And they contacted us probably around 2017, 2018, somewhere in there, and said, hey, can you put these in for us? But we did. They have Wi-Fi in them. Somehow or another, for whatever reason, that particular PC swapped over to Wi-Fi. It refused to acknowledge that there was an actual Ethernet cable connected in. I even had her pull it out and stick it back in. I said, do you see lights? And she's like, yeah, I see lights. But whenever I'd go to the interface, it would say disabled. I'd click, I'd say enable. It goes, you're good. But it was still disabled. And of course, part of the problem with the Wi-Fi connection had to do with the fact that whenever it switched over to it, it went to the public profile and not the private profile. So it couldn't see certain things, mm-hmm. you know, the network sharing, none of that stuff was working. So I was like, okay, let's try this. Since I can't seem to get the interface to actually behave, restart the computer. Restart the computer, everything worked. All right. So during all of this, I was having a conversation with them about the new service. And I was told how much of an ordeal that it was to get this installed. And I said, well, can you send me a couple pictures of the equipment they put in? Because I didn't know what they got. I didn't know if they got regular cable modem. Did they get Adtran fiber? What did they get? And so she sends me a picture. She goes, they put in two boxes. I'm like, okay.
Solar phone service too?
Well, they have three lines. They have two main lines and a fax line. Mm-hmm. These are Aeris cable phone modems, Wi-Fi routers. So it's a combo unit.
Right.
They put two of those bastards in. They used one for internet, Wi-Fi. That's what I'm getting to. Internet, Wi-Fi, and two telephone lines. They used another one for the singular fax line. And my question was, why? It's a four-port phone modem. Why? Okay, that wasn't the issue. I told her, I said, look, I'm going to come by Monday. We're going to take a look and see what you got. So I get there. I'm looking at it. Now, what you have to keep in mind, they already had an old, and when I say old, this thing's probably 10 plus years old, Belkin Wi-Fi router that the switching ports on it were only 100 megabit.
Hmm.
So that gives you an idea of how old it was. Well, it's a Wi-Fi router. You probably can imagine what I'm about to tell you.
It's double natted.
Double natted.
Yeah.
They sold them managed Wi-Fi. And I said, well, did they give you, and I could see the Wi-Fi networks. And of course, it drives me absolutely batty when they don't, you know, either the equipment doesn't support it or the people that configure it don't understand what band steering is. Mm-hmm. You do not need to have two SSIDs, one for 2.4 and one for 5. Yeah. Okay. So I was like, did they give you a password or anything? And she found it. So I connected to it and I was like, okay, well, this is going to be a problem because they use... The owner uses his phone to sometimes print to one of their printers. If he's connected to the new managed Wi-Fi, he can't see the printer because it's on the inside of the network, of the original network. So the cable modem does a 0.x.
Yeah.
So it handed a private IP address to the WAN side of their Belkin. And then, of course, their subnet is a 2.x.
So he's in that twilight zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I said, don't connect to these. Let me work with TrueVista. So, and they charge $15 a month for this managed Wi-Fi. So I called my guy and I'm like, okay, you got to help me understand what the hell happened here. And this was on, this was Tuesday before Thanksgiving. We had a conversation that morning and we agreed by the end of that we would wait and work on it the beginning of this week because I didn't want to jack anything up during the holidays. And I said, here, I don't understand, dude. Do you guys not have sales engineers? He's like, well, we got one guy that is like really super smart. But I said, no. You're supposed to have sales engineers that go with the sales people to look over what it is that the client has so that they can sell them what it is that they actually need. Or they need to bring in the IT guy. You need to ask the customer, do you have someone that does your IT stuff? And they'll say, Ben or Donovan. Bring them in. Let's have mm-hmm. a conversation. And he told me, he said, well, look, to be fair, he tried to explain it to me. He's like, I'm not making excuses for it. And he didn't sell it. But he said, I'm not making excuses for it. It's just like, these are these prepackaged things. It's like X amount of dollars for this. It already has the Wi-Fi managed in it, blah, blah, blah. We just pop it in and go. I said, okay, well, this is a problem. I said, will it continue to work with the double NAT? Yes. That is not the best scenario. That is technically a no-no when it comes to network design. And I said, besides, they're not going to be able to use the Wi-Fi that they're paying for because it takes them off their internal network. I said, so I think I know the answer to the question because I know this is the way it works with Mediacom. But if you go in and you disable the Wi-Fi on that unit, it should reboot and put it in bridging mode. He said, I'll find out. Well, we finally started working on it Monday and he started digging into it. And then he put the order in to make the change. And I'm like, okay. Tuesday rolls around because today is Wednesday. Tuesday rolls around and I hit him up. And I said, hey, look, you know, I'm scatterbrained sometimes. I'm just hitting you up. What's the deal? He goes, that hadn't happened yet because what I was able to do is I didn't want to disturb them. So I did the background remote session and I would do a trace route and it would show me the hop. It would show me the from their 2X to the 0 before it would go out. I'm like, no, that's not changed. They're still, and of course you can do a NetSH WLAN show network or whatever and it'll show you the Wi-Fi networks you can see. He said, okay, I'm going to start working on this. And so he does. He has to basically hand walk this thing to, I think I know who it was, to go in and manually make these changes and reboot the modem to get it into bridging mode. And so now I'm putting them in a brand new TP-Link. God, I can't even remember the model, man, but it looks like a freaking alien spaceship. It stands
I think
about
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. This one's got 2.5 gig ports on it. It does like, I think it's Wi-Fi 7. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Wi-Fi 7. For it to have 2.5 gig ports on it, it probably is Wi-Fi 7. But anyway, considering that their other one is 10 to 15 years old anyway, they're going to, because what got me is I started noticing whenever I was dicking around with trying to figure out what was going on with that one PC, when we rebooted it and I looked at the interface statistics, it said connection speed 100 megabit. And I went, excuse me? I went and I remoted into the other machine. Same thing. I never noticed that. It'd never been an issue, but I'd never noticed it. And I'm like, we need to upgrade this thing. And they're like, go ahead. I said, well, I'm going to give you a price. No, I trust you. Go ahead and do it. I'm like, okay. So it'll be here this weekend and I'm going to do it next weekend. But yeah, you know, if there hadn't have been a problem with that one workstation, we would have gone on and then eventually I would have gotten a call. It's like, we can't print to the printer from our phones. And then I would have dug into this 6 months later and figured out how fucked up it was. And I was like, please, can y'all? And I told him, I said, I'll be your sales engineer, but it's going to cost. He's like, yeah, yeah. They probably won't go with that. I know. I said, but
your customers would be happier.
Yeah, because for me to do something like that, they're going to pay me like $125,000, $150,000 a year just to do that. Plus, I still keep my company. Yeah. That's the only way I do it.
I go as needed and just charge by the hour, $400 an hour.
Yeah, $400 an hour. That's it. The other thing that I think you'll probably appreciate, if you haven't already started trying it, I have ChatGPT as my default search engine in my browser.
I've not done that.
There is a extension. Apparently, that's the only way to do it. But something popped up. It might have been whenever I was in ChatGPT and it popped up and said, hey, there's now an extension for Chrome, which will work in Edge, so that you can make ChatGPT your default search engine. I'm like, really? Well, since I'm now paying for it, let's try it. And so far, I've had to get used to the fact that I'm the kind of guy that I always just type my search stuff into the address bar.
Yeah.
I'm having to get accustomed to the fact that the first time it did it, and I have forgotten that I had done this.
Yeah.
And it brings up another tab and it's giving me ChatGPT. And I went, oh, yeah. And so far, it's been more accurate than doing a lookup on Google.
Well, there have been when I was starting to play with the models, there was a time where I didn't Google anything a month. I just, instead of typing in the search bar, I would just have to hit the ChatGPT shortcut and
do it
get my question answered that way. And one of my favorite parts about it is I didn't have to weed through the bullshit ads.
Yes.
So there it is.
Well, you know, whenever I did that lookup a while ago about all these lookups that I did prior to the show,
mm-hmm.
like how is vodka made? Every bit of that was done in chat GPT.
Nice.
I just did the search. And because I use Edge and I'm logged into my Microsoft account, all my edges, they all sync. So it's like whenever I go from the Mac Mini to the laptop to that PC,
mm-hmm.
it's already there. And all my searches, they're all on the left-hand side. So I can go back and go, oh, yeah, because I was trying to look up something yesterday about, I'd asked Tyler, I said, have you seen this thing about 2-to-1 ratio when it comes to video production? And we started getting into all this. And so I was like, how do you do it in DaVinci? And I just gave me a shit ton of stuff. And at first I was like, God damn, that's a lot to do 2-to-1. But then once I did it in practice, I went, oh, that's 2 settings. That's it. Just 2 settings. And now I've got a 2-to-1 on the video.
I did connect the AI features in iOS 8. I tied Siri to my ChatGPT account.
I think I've done that.
But
are you still, you're not running a beta version, are you?
I'm still in the beta program, so I'm not sure if I'm.
You're probably running a beta then because I don't have that option.
But I don't know if Siri would do this before. Let's see if it still does it.
Okay.
I'll have to preface this. I think I was writing a check late in the day. My brain was tired. Like, I don't know how to spell 19.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
How do I ask ChatGPT or a search engine, how do I spell 19 without having to spell 19 in the search? I was like, oh, I'll just ask Siri. Spell 19.
19. 1, 9.
Yeah. That's how fucking helpful that was. Then I just took a stab at it and looked right. We went on. And the check cleared. So we're good. It's still... Like spell 19. It's like 1, 1, 9.
I'm sorry. I'm just, that tickles me.
And the fact that it still does it.
Okay. So mine's not going to, I say, I think I've got mine on do not disturb.
I've got mine on silent.
Siri, how do you spell 19? And it gives me 19 Adele, which is one of her albums.
That popped up on mine too, but it's, you know, it said.
What in the hell?
Exactly.
Okay, if you go into ChatGPT, how do you spell the number 19? Let's see what it says. The number 19 is spelled as N-I-N-E-T-E-E-N.
And that's what I wanted. Yeah. And I did get it right.
Trust me, man. I've had days where I'm like, how do you spell the word the? You know, you put something down and the brain just goes, that don't look right.
Might as well be staring in the fridge.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's like I learned. So that friend of mine, he wrote me the check for the services that I did. And I didn't pay attention. You know, he wrote the dollar amount correctly. I can't remember if I told you this or not. He wrote the dollar amount correctly in the little square. But then when he wrote it in the actual words,
mm-hmm.
he forgot one word, which meant that it was $700 less than what it needed to be. So I do all my deposits by mobile deposit.
Yeah.
And this is where I learned that the mobile deposit apps don't give a shit about the number in the box. They apparently are keying off of the words.
What if there's no number in the box?
I don't know. And I can't say for certainty that that's true because... Mm-hmm. I deposited one today and it was written. I don't care about letting anybody know the amount. The amount was $1,300 and it was written on the check. It was typed out. It wasn't handwritten.
Mm-hmm.
It was typed out on the check 1300.00. And I have run into this before where if you don't put the .00 and I'm doing it through the Capital One deposit app,
mm-hmm.
it would come back and say, these don't match because you put in what it is. And then when it scans the front and the back and it says, hey, these don't match. I'm like, and it did this to me twice today. And the damn number in the box was 1300.00.
Mm-hmm.
So finally on the third try, I backed out the .00, just left it as 1300 and went, you're good. I'm like, you motherfucker. Because I was like, I don't want to have to go to the bank because I haven't even been to the where my bank moved to since they moved 2 years ago. So anyway, but yeah, apparently, because I didn't recognize that he had missed a word until it came back and said, hey, your deposit is good. And it gave me a dollar figure that was missing $700.
Oh.
And I pulled I got the check because, of course, I kept it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it and I'm like, no, that's right. And then I read and I went, son of a bitch. So I called him up and he uses Carbons. And I said, I know you trust me, but I want you to verify. Look at that. And he's like, son of a bitch. So he wrote the additional and I went by the next day and picked it up. And that one deposited fine. But it was like, I never, ever knew that it really was paying attention to that. And somebody told me, matter of fact, I think he told me his wife used to work at the bank years and years and years ago, apparently. And he said, yeah, he said whenever she worked at the bank as a as a teller, she said they never, ever cared about what was in the box. They looked at what was actually written on the line. I was like, really? I didn't realize that. I thought they looked at both. He said, not according to her. They were always told, make sure whatever the amount is written in English, that's what gets deposited.
Never knew that.
Now, not saying that's the gospel truth, but that's what I was told. So, okay, let's get into some newsy articles. Nothing really that great. A couple of things. So we've got one over at Forbes. Microsoft, this was the reason why I put it in because the title is clickbaity, but Microsoft Windows warning, do not install this app on your PC. Microsoft's Bing wallpaper app, which offers high quality images for Windows 11, has come under scrutiny for allegedly engaging in invasive practices to promote Bing and Edge. Shocker. Critics describe its behavior as aggressive and potentially compromising user privacy. And while Microsoft denies some allegations, the app has sparked widespread concern, with experts advising users to avoid installing it due to questionable background activities. Bing wallpaper. I mean, so
I use it.
Bing wallpaper?
Yeah. I think I installed it. I get a new image every day of a city in Europe at night or a moose, whatever. It is clickbaity. I mean, the lock screen.
Yeah.
I don't want to accidentally click on the box of text that's on the lock screen that's telling me about this image.
Mm-hmm.
Cause as soon as I unlock, it'll open Edge and show me the page of results or
yep.
whatever they were trying to show me. Like, no fuckers. I unlocked my machine to use it, not to enjoy my time in my office reading about some things I will never see in life.
I don't know if this is the same thing. It may be. It says the free Bing wallpaper app is a good wallpaper app. Nice, high quality images to freshen up Windows 11 experience. But it's what's going on under the covers that's making headlines. Windows developer Rafael Rivera responded to another ex-user who had corrected the misconception that the free wallpaper app was priced at $50, posting it's, quote, probably safer to pay $50 then install this on your machine. It will automatically install Bing Visual Search and has code to peruse and decrypt your Edge and Chrome cookies. So
you might as well just get MKBHD's wallpaper app.
You might as well. So the consensus is to avoid the app. The register explains, in short, you might want to take a pass on installing this one. It's another in a long line of questionable data gathering practices by Microsoft that show no sign of slowing down. After all, if the app is free, company will surely seek some way to monetize it. Because remember, if it is free, you are the product. That was me editorializing.
Well, if they're tracking my interactions with my wallpaper, pretty sure there's nothing.
They're decrypting your cookies, man. Those chocolate chips.
Better uninstall it before Christmas cookie.
That's right. Before those damn Christmas cookies.
I have been wanting to do an analysis of traffic just from my machine to the internet. Because if it's not just my searches and email and my intentional traffic,
mm-hmm.
I want to know what else is going on. because I'm sure there's some telemetry.
Always.
Well, I mean, there's my RMM.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just, you know, what else?
Yeah, because I remember back in the day, you could actually go in. There was a way to turn off the telemetry under the hood. Do some, I don't know if you did some stuff in the hose file or whatever, but it's pretty difficult to do that now in any version of Windows. Right. But
if you inspect the traffic and kind of figure out where that's going, I mean, you just block it in the network.
Yeah, you can block it in the network. So there's a, I cannot remember the name of it now, but God, I want to think it starts with like ice something or no glass something. It's a network traffic inspection tool that you can install on your computer, and it's supposed to detail all of the information that is being spit out from your PC across the network.
Hmm.
So I can't remember the name of it. I installed it a couple of years ago and was kind of underwhelmed. I was either underwhelmed or I didn't know what the hell I was looking at.
Yeah.
One of the two. It was one of those. And it was like, I just don't have time to dig into this.
Yeah. And that's where I am too. But I want to do it at the firewall level because I want to see what traffic, how much bandwidth the washer and dryer are using.
That is
somebody posted a chart. It was like one of their appliances used like 30 gigs in a day.
Yeah.
And I thought, what?
Can you imagine 10 years ago, like, did you ever think that you would be questioning that?
No. No. And I really shouldn't. I should just put my foot down, and we don't need somebody's phone to ding when the dryer's done. That's all we need.
I can't remember, but do you have it on its own VLAN?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. I thought you did.
The Echoes, thermostats,
yeah,
washer, dryer, you know, whatever, all the IoT shit is on its own.
Mm-hmm. Is it on one singular VLAN or you got multiple VLANs for that?
I have a VLAN for the bots.
Yeah.
I have a VLAN for the kids. VLAN for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And a VLAN for the one surveillance camera.
I did, yeah.
There'll be more, but
matter of fact, I just put in a new one today. I'm testing it. You probably can't see it whenever we go out because now it's dark, but it's a Wyze Battery Cam Pro. So it's a battery operated, but also bought a solar panel that it interfaces with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put it up here. It's a 2K camera. When I first was looking at it, that camera was like $110 or $120. It's now $70. So, and the panel was 15. Matter of fact, those are the two boxes for it right there. So, I got them today. I put it up. It's got the standard. You can put an SD card in. I'm actually doing the 30-day trial for their Cam Plus so that, it'll record in the cloud, but I can also go to my.wyze.com/live and actually see it in a web browser if I wanted to. And, so I'm testing that, but the whole thing was like $90. Yeah. It's not bad. Considering, I mean, it's not a Ubiquiti Bullet G3, but, you know, for 400.
We're not going to have those. No.
Not going to be able to afford them because they're going to go from 400 to 800 if you can get them. Another article at Forbes. I tell you, Forbes was, they were on the ball. New warning for 2 billion iPhone, iPad, Mac users. Your Apple ID is suspended.
Oh, shit. I guess I need to go check on mine.
A new phishing scam targeting Apple users warns of, quote, suspended Apple IDs aiming to steal credentials by mimicking legitimate communications. These scams exploit urgency and authenticity to trick victims, particularly during high traffic shopping periods like Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Experts advise caution, recommending direct verification with Apple, avoiding suspicious links, and using robust security practices such as password managers, two-factor authentication, and so forth to protect your accounts. So basically, it's an email that you get. There was an update November 27th. It said this story originally published November 25th now includes information about a second Apple ID phishing scam and more expert advice for iPhone, iPad, MacBook users on how to avoid falling victim to this. And essentially, you get an email that says, hey, your account's been suspended and probably click here to find out or change a password or log in. Or
I just wonder if it looks legitimate.
I'm trying to.
Because Apple's communications are usually really clean.
Yeah.
And well designed.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm looking. I'm trying to see.
Been pretty good at spotting bullshit.
It says phishing scams like the Apple ID suspended scheme are becoming increasingly prolific and under immediate urgency. Jake Moore, former digital crimes law enforcement officer And now, cybersecurity advisor at ESET, E-S-E-T, said many people are still manipulated by the clever tactics used by criminal hackers. Apple will never ask you to log in to any website or to tap accept in the two-factor authentication dialog or to provide your password, device passcode, or two-factor authentication code, or to enter it into any website, Apple said. Part of this, and this is what I thought was interesting, part of the issue with this has to do with the mail servers. Either whoever is managing the email servers, whoever's managing the DNS, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know what DMARC protection is, yeah, right? It says, as retailers ignore full DMARC protections, Apple users need to stay alert to scam risk. And that's part of the problem, is they're not fully implementing DMARC.
Who? The recipients of these?
Well, no, it wouldn't be the recipients. It'd be the senders. Yeah. So like Apple, for example.
Yeah.
If an email comes from what it looks like to be an Apple.com, if they spoof it,
yeah,
if DMARC is set up appropriately, it'll
never get through.
It should never get through.
Yeah.
Now, I'm guilty of this. There's a complete failure option,
mm-hmm,
or there's a check it, but let it through anyway.
Yeah.
And I've never set on any of my domains, I've never set the fail and reject completely.
Because I don't know where it goes. If we want it back, what do we?
Yeah, that's what I haven't figured out.
There we go.
You know, and I'm probably being an idiot, and it's probably easy enough to figure it out, but it's just like, I've never done it. So I need to really look into that. But that's what they're, I think that's what they're saying is it's implemented, but it's not fully implemented. It's not full DMARC protection. So anyway, you get some weird ass emails from Apple saying your Apple ID is suspended. You probably should just ignore it. And then go to actually apple.com and try to log in like you normally would. Don't follow any links at all. Man, fucking gummies. Okay, over at Semaphore, Blue Sky Boom worries Chinese media. I can't remember if I've asked you this. Are you on Blue Sky yet?
No, I did want to go on there and shitpost for a while, but I didn't bother.
Well, they're up to about 23, 24 million users now.
Well, the growth has slowed. I've seen more people. I've heard that a lot of folks have just come back to Twitter because I've seen screenshots of a lot of the anger
mm-hmm.
over there. If you don't agree with every single thing somebody thinks.
What, on Blue Sky?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. I haven't experienced it either.
People may have just go over there and drum it up. I don't know.
I will tell you something that has been discovered now. Hank Green actually had a video on this. There is somebody is making accounts because the fire hose, the API, all of that for Blue Sky, it's open.
Yeah.
You know, and he talked about the fact that you have Blue Sky and then you have the protocol, and the protocol, I believe, is like an open source protocol.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually detached. So if someone were to come in and buy the Blue Sky company, they're not buying the protocol, unlike what with Twitter. When Dumbass bought Twitter,
mm-hmm.
he bought the protocol and Twitter all together, and then, of course, killed the API.
Yeah, that kind of pissed me.
Yeah, which is the reason why, you know, a lot of these services that used to have a free tier, like you delete my tweet and all of that, can't do it anymore without you having to pay something.
Yeah.
Anyway, what he discovered is, He put out a post, and it's so funny. We have been so indoctrinated, like, you know, we Google everything. Now we tweet everything, even though we're not on Twitter, because mm-hmm. he would tweet something on Blue Sky. All right. But anyway, so he was literally trying to do some research. And what he started discovering is there are accounts on there that are bots that are using AI to be slightly contrarian to everything that is posted.
I thought about making one of those for Twitter. Like, go read these comments. Have at it.
Well, somebody's already doing it on Blue Sky, but I thought that was interesting. I'm enjoying Blue Sky still. I mean, there's a lot of like-minded individuals there. Is it an echo chamber? I don't know. I mean, I follow the people I follow. I've picked up, I don't know, I probably have maybe 20 followers, 25. I mean, I never was big on Twitter either. So, But Chinese state media is reportedly concerned about users leaving Twitter or Blue Sky, a platform with a liberal user base and a harder to manipulate algorithm. After investing heavily in building large followings on Twitter through ads, bots, and influencers, state media has seen growth stall. While a migration to Blue Sky is anticipated, current efforts are refocusing on domestic platforms like WeChat, Bilibili, and I don't know how to pronounce that one. It's D-O-U-Y-I-N. Duin. Anyway. So basically, this just goes to prove that there was a lot of crud and corruption going on Twitter from Chinese bots.
Mm-hmm.
And now that there's been such a big exodus coming off of it, going over to Blue Sky.
They've lost their influence.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I thought that was interesting.
Kind of fucked up. They can push gobs of bullshit to Twitter.
Yeah.
But if I want a pro level subscription to be able to use the API of whatever I want, pull data and get reports and automatically post. And do you know how much a Twitter pro is?
What is it, like monthly or yearly?
Monthly.
20, 30, 40?
$5,000.
Wow.
It's for corporations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. God, that reminds me of when Reddit did their thing. When it was like, no, you're going to have to start paying for the API. And that one guy's app that everybody used instead of Reddit's app, he was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Can't afford it. I'm done. Wow. It ain't worth it.
And Twitter does have a free access, but you have to apply.
Mm.
And I think I clicked the button. They were like, all right, how do you want to use this? I don't fucking know. It's an API. It's not. I didn't know I needed a business plan to apply for this free access to the API.
Mm-hmm.
So never mind.
Oh, that's I'll ridiculous.
Find something better to do.
It's ridiculous. I don't pay attention to Blue Sky as much as I had been maybe a week ago, but I did put it on my phone. So I do bring it up. I don't have Twitter on my phone. I don't have Facebook on my phone. But I have Blue Sky on my phone and I have Insta on my phone, Instagram.
So you have Facebook on your phone?
In a way, but I don't have Facebook. The Facebook.com is not on my phone. But Instagram/Threads, I have those. So yeah, I'm logged in to that account. But it's just something about, I got pissed off one day and I was like, I need to get away from Facebook. I mean, I have like two friends on Facebook. The only reason why I'm on Facebook is to manage Tifton Talks and a couple of clients' Facebook pages to help them with that. I'm like co-admin on their stuff. Not that I want to be, but it's like, if I don't do it, they're not going to know how to do it.
Yeah.
And it's going to turn into a clusterfuck because I've already had one client that they went through an acquisition, which apparently the acquisition turned sour.
Ooh.
And in the process of, you know, their website got moved over. Their Facebook page got moved over. They lost control of all of that. And they came to me saying, how do we get control of our Facebook page back? And I'm like, don't. I said, unless you can get the other party to make you an admin and then you can drop them off, you're going to have to go. And I gave them some links. I did some research. I said, you're going to have to contact Facebook and you're going to have to go through 900 levels of shit, I'm sure, to prove that you own that damn page.
So all that had happened and then the deal fell apart?
Yep. And it fell apart roughly 10 months after it was done, 8 to 10 months after the deal was done.
That's,
yeah.
Whoever broke that fired.
I'm not entirely sure what happened. I mean, I only got bits and pieces. And, you know, I managed their DNS. I was able to get, because we had some email issues. And so I got all that moved over to where I could manage it because we're having SPF issues and stuff like that with email getting kicked back from Google. And so I got all that straightened out. And that allowed me to also, whenever the acquisition was done, I was able to forward their website over to the other website where there was a landing page for them. And to this day, they still... I've asked them multiple times, y'all going to get the website back? Yeah, we really need to do that. And I'm going to show you, but it still goes to that.
That was a pretty big deal.
And it still goes to the company that they don't have an agreement with anymore. So yeah, how did I even get on that?
Did we?
I don't know.
Can rewind it.
I can't. I can't. Maybe it's this alcoholic water. No, it's actually water, guys. Anyway, it was Facebook. There's a reason why I'm on Facebook. But see, I was not a co-admin on that one, so I had nothing to do with it. And I do my damnedest to try to go, no, I don't need to be a part of this at all. But if you want me to hold the credentials to one of the accounts, okay. But because that's happened a lot, it's like, you know, somebody leaves and it's like, well, they were in charge of the Amazon store or the Amazon account or this and that and the other. Do you have, have you got the Etsy credentials or the eBay credentials? No, I do not. Good fucking luck. You know, I do manage your email. So whatever email address it was, request a password reset. We'll get it. We'll figure this shit out. But
yeah, it's crazy. It's always a mess.
Yeah. Moving on, ZDNet. Microsoft ramps up pressure on users running Windows 11 on unsupported PCs. Microsoft is stepping up efforts to discourage users from running Windows 11 on unsupported PCs as the end of Windows 10 support looms in October 2025. The company plans to add watermarks and notifications to warn users of unsupported hardware, stating such systems may not receive updates or be covered by warranties. Okay, what kind of warranty are we talking about?
Hardware manufacturer warranty? I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, how are you going to not? How is a company? I don't understand that.
How is anything not compatible with Windows 11 still under warranty at this point?
Well, I mean, that's fair. You got a fair point. And this is an arbitrary decision by Microsoft to not make these machines compatible because there's no reason. They've proven time and time again. I mean, the community has proven time and time again. Windows 11 will run on 5th gen i5s, 4th gen i5s, all that shit, and it'll run okay. Not going to say it's a speed demon.
I want to say the laptop that I carry, I loaded fresh Windows 11.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to trick it or anything. Loaded up fine. I want to say that's a 5th gen
i5. I think that's a minimum, I want to say. But then again, I thought it was 8th gen. But the biggest issue has been the TPM. If it doesn't have a TPM 2.0 in it, apparently there's some hacky ways to get stuff to work. But apparently that's one of the things that I saw another article where Microsoft was like, we're not relenting on this. If you do not have TPM 2.0, Windows 11 will not install. And I'm like, okay.
Linux will.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to Tyler about this kind of stuff, and he was like, so 2025 is the year of Linux desktop? And I was like, I don't know, man.
Nope.
I said, I'd be using Mac OS on everything, but there's still certain things in Windows that work better. I mean, my take control for the RMM works better on Windows than it does on Mac. It works on Mac, but it just doesn't work as the way I like it to work on Windows.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Windows 11 strict hardware requirements like secure boot, TPM 2.0, have been a barrier to adoption, leaving many older PCs ineligible without third-party tools or registry tweaks. And despite workarounds, Microsoft highlights risks such as reduced security and compatibility issues. Although Windows 11 adoption is growing, Windows 10 remains dominant with 62% market share. I still prefer Windows 10 over Windows 11, but that one's running Windows 11. My Windows laptop in that bag over there, which is my carry with me to do whatever, is Windows 11. But if I have a choice, most of the time I'll just install Windows 10. I just like it. I like it. At its core, it works better than 11 does.
I haven't found a difference yet.
It's just a feeling for me.
Performance.
I have. File Explorer in Windows 11 is still sluggish compared to Windows 10. Now, here's the one thing I do like about it in Windows 11 is it's tabbed. So I can bring up one File Explorer and I can have multiple tabs.
I drag and drop. I need two windows. I don't have any use for tabs in File Explorer.
I mean, I get that. And I do that to an extent.
I don't need to peruse them one at a time. I need to look at them, both of them at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
When I find a reason to have tabs open,
yeah,
sure.
Well, and don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the tab feature in File Explorer I've got to go to Windows 11
for
that.
Yeah, that's what I've been missing this whole time.
But it is kind of cool if you need it. And I have run into instances where as an example, I have one File Explorer window open. I have a tab that has got all the shortcuts to my Rust Desk remote tool.
Yeah.
I've got another tab that maybe I'm looking at my podcast folder and, you know, manipulating stuff or whatever. And then I'll do a third tab for something, some image editing, some stuff that I'm doing. So I've got those three tabs. So I don't need to, I'm not necessarily dragging and dropping stuff there. I'm just needing to run stuff.
It's more like a menu access.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically that.
I get that.
So to me, it's just integrated into my daily routine because it's there. But now if I need to move a large amount of files around, I'll hit Control N, get another damn window, and just start dragging and dropping, just like you do. Although, let's see, 62% market share support for Windows 10 ending. Users face decisions to upgrade hardware, stick with older systems, or explore unofficial methods to bypass restrictions. Microsoft enforcement measures signal an effort to push users toward compliant devices. But for now, resourceful users continue to find ways to keep their existing PCs running the latest OS. So there you go. So basically, if it's on unsupported hardware and you've done a workaround, you're going to start getting watermarks and things like that going, hey.
That's bullshit. I mean, just support it like they've always supported.
Yeah.
Through the forums and the community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean those forums that you can never get a straight answer out of?
Yeah.
Yeah. All the Microsoft MVPs that don't know what the fuck they're talking about?
I've had only a few instances where, yep, this is how we solved it. And it's usually like some tool that's sysinternals.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just want to know how the fucking thing works.
Yeah. You know, there's a special place in hell for the posters that post an issue they have, post that they solved it, and then never post how they solved it.
Yeah. Oh, never mind, guys. I solved it. And you're like,
yeah. How did you do? Because there's about 400 other people that need to know now.
I've never asked a question. So I've never had to post a resolution.
I have in some forums, but
usually when I need to solve it, I don't have time to wait for somebody to say, I don't know, bro. Let me know when you find out.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, especially with the way Google search has gotten over the last couple of years. I mean, used to, you could find usually on the first page or two of a Google search what you were looking for on how to solve something.
Yeah. Now it's some bullshit at TechNet and then maybe a Stack Overflow. Maybe a Reddit post, but then it's answers.com and Quora.
Which is where I'm finding ChatGPT works a hell of a lot better in that stuff.
I have solved so many issues, just small stuff that would have taken me 3 hours to find. I go, here's my problem and here's what I need to know about.
Mm-hmm.
Not how to solve it, but how, you know, where's that log file or.
Right.
And it's decent.
Yeah. I mean, especially now that it can do real-time web search. That's also good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but so, yeah, you need to look into that extension. It's just, it's literally called Donovan Can't Find It. It's called ChatGPT Search.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And that lets you search from the address bar?
Yeah, when you install it, it prompts and basically says, hey, do you want to make this your default search or something like that? And then the very first time I did a search, it popped up and said, hey, I want you to be aware. You're using this as a default. You're okay with it. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And then
don't do image search with dick pics. Because don't put anything private up.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Over at Variety, Walmart closes $2.3 billion acquisition of Vizio. So they've completed their acquisition, marking a significant move to expand its presence in the consumer electronics market. The deal strengthens Walmart's effort to compete with other retail giants by integrating Vizio's popular smart TVs and related technology into its offering. The acquisition aligns with Walmart's strategy to enhance its technological and digital product portfolio, potentially enabling the company to offer more competitive prices and personalized shopping experiences. Now, that was the nice summarization. In the article, I think it actually points out that this just gives them the ability
outprice pretty much everywhere else they sell.
Not only that, but data tracking on what people watch on those damn TVs.
They're going to put fucking cameras in those things too.
You know, a lot of them have cameras that you don't know about because, really? Yeah, you can, I think there's a place you can go look up and it's like, does this model have a camera in it? And you'd be amazed, I think, at how many actually have little cameras. And you'd be like, they got to tell me, right? I mean, I've been sitting here watching porn, jacking it for, you know, for months on end. And what are they doing
with that? They're selling your shit on OnlyFans.
I want my cut.
Yeah, exactly.
I want my cut. But yeah, that's a concern is not only can they, you know, lowball, which, okay, I'm not knocking anybody that's got a Vizio television. They are good for what they
are. Good displays.
But they're not top. They're not Samsungs. They're not
Sony.
Sony. I mean, but then yeah. Again, you're spending what? $150 for a 50-inch Vizio instead of $800 for a 50-inch Sony or some shit. I mean, I haven't looked at the prices recently.
I hate to admit this, but I bought a 55-inch for my daughter's bedroom.
Well, it probably just made sense, right? Monetarily? Or was it just like...
Yeah, I mean, it was $400 maybe. And I think it was a TCL.
TCLs are not bad.
And I was like, they sponsor, you know, they give the NFL a bunch of money, so they...
Is it a Roku TCL or...
It might be Roku.
Yeah.
I forget it's up there. I never go upstairs.
Yeah. I had two... No, I do have two TCL Rokus, and I do not use the Roku side of them at all.
I just need a display.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I've got an Apple TV. I got the Fire Stick and an Apple TV. I want to get rid of the Fire Stick, but on the 55 we got in the bedroom, I just replaced the Fire Stick on the one that's in the, what we call the courtroom, basically walking in the back door with another Apple TV. The reason for that was because after the, and I probably could have just reset the stick, but I was like, nope, I want a damn Apple TV in here. But what was happening, the True Vista TV app, about every 2 days, you'd come in there first thing in the morning, you'd bring it up, and you're getting 15 frames per second on every channel.
I never had that experience with that app. Yeah,
I had to restart the Fire Stick every single time to get it to work properly. And so, like I say, I probably could have just reset it, but I said, fuck it. I'm going to spend $150 for a 4K. Apple TV that's hooked to a non-4K television, but you do what you do.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they make a non-4K Apple TV anymore.
Yeah. We suffered a lightning strike in 21 and it killed the 55-inch Toshiba that I had 12 or 13 years by then.
Was it a plasma?
No.
No.
CD. Okay. But it was $2,200 when I bought it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was 2008.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought, well, I guess we're getting a 4K TV in here. And so the lightning came through. I swear it came through the network somehow because I lost Sonic Wall, the Switch, both Apple TVs, the controller in my projection screen, the projector, the TV in the bedroom, the Apple TV, and I think an access point, maybe both. It was an expensive June.
Sounds like it.
So I put a 4K TV in there and got the Apple TV 4K and the True Vista TV app. So I had the picture mode of the TV was in 4K. So it was kind of upscaling. Shit. Or it would just black out, quit. And I finally discovered, like, all right. So I went to the Apple TV settings, took it down to 1080, perfectly fine. So I'd have to switch that mode when I go to watch Netflix or Prime in 4K, but I have to switch back to HD to watch the True Vista bullshit.
I wonder if they solved that in a later update because I don't have to do that on my 4K.
Before I cancel the service.
Oh, okay. Because we've got one 4K TV. That's the 55 in the bedroom. And I think that Apple TV is set up for auto adapting or some shit like that. So it knows that whenever 4K is being sent, it displays 4K. It knows if 1080p is being sent, it displays 1080p.
And it could have been a compatibility with the TV.
Yeah.
It's an LG that matters.
Yeah. I don't know. That is weird. There's a lot of damn settings in the Apple TV, though. You can get in there and fuck yourself up.
Yeah, but I noticed when I changed the picture mode back to HD, the TrueVista TV was just fine.
Yeah. I wound up, even though I didn't need it, the one I have on the 55 is the bigger version of the Apple TV. It's the one that's got the Ethernet port in and it has more memory. Because they have two versions. They have a Wi-Fi only, and they have one that's got the Ethernet port.
Yeah, I don't get the Wi-Fi only thing.
Yeah, the Ethernet one is the more expensive one. I think it's like $149 or whatever, which I'm paying on my Apple credit card at like $20-something for the next 6 months, interest-free. So even though I don't have an Ethernet port right there where this TV is going in the back door, I just went ahead and got it anyway because I was like, well, if I ever do put a cable here, you know, there you go. And another thing I did was I was getting tired. The TCLs do not have the best speakers in them at all.
Yeah.
And of course, I had to go through this process of trying to get the Apple remote to actually correctly do the volume and turn the TV off. And that was a little fun little deal there. I didn't have that trouble when I did it with the Samsung, but the TCL was being a little bitch. So I got all of that and I was like, I need a sound bar. So I was like, I went and started looking at soundbars, and then I went, I don't need a soundbar because the cheapest fucking soundbar I could find anywhere was over $200. And so what I did is these little Bluetooth anchor speakers that you can get. They're under $30. Mm-hmm. They sound really good. I put one of those in front of it, connected it via Bluetooth to the Apple TV, and I'm using the power cable, the power brick that powered the Fire Stick, I've got it plugged into the little anchor speaker so that I don't have to worry about, you know, the battery dying in it or whatever. And as soon as you hook it up, the volume is automatically controlled perfectly and it sounds phenomenal compared. I won't say it's just like, oh, this is great as an $800.
It sounds really good for $30.
For 30 bucks, yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm glad I did this. You know, because she has one. And I was like, I'm going to test this first. So I went in there, I set it all up and I went, I like the way this sounds. So I spent, I think it was like $27 or $28. And it's a newer model, got it in black. Hers is red. And it's just, it's about this big, you know, what was that, about 8 inches maybe? Yeah. And just sits right there. And Oriana was like, oh yeah, this sounds a lot better. Because she watches that TV more than anybody else. You know, when she comes down, she does the dishes at night or whatever. She'll sit there and drink her tea while she watches something on TV before she goes to bed. She does not have a TV in her room, refuses to have one. So she has a computer. That's it. Well, and a bed, but that's it. But yeah, I thought that was a pretty good investment. Because, yeah, seriously, every soundbar that I tried to find was $200 or more.
I found mine at Walmart for $140-ish.
Yeah, that was still,
and it's an LG.
Yeah, that was still more than I wanted to spend.
Well, this was the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it was the sound bar. It's almost as wide as the TV.
Yeah.
And it's subwoofer. It was under the bed. Perfect.
Yeah. If you wanted to go with Sonos, though, boy, whoo, you're going to be paying them.
I've heard folks are quite upset with that company lately.
Well, that happened when they fucked up that app.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been, I haven't heard anything else about it, but I want to say about 5 months ago, that was being talked about on the GOG podcast almost every episode about how bad that app was. Okay, two more articles before we get out of here. This one's titled Bad Influence. It's over at The Verge. And the only reason why this one just made me go, what? The article explains the legal battle between two Amazon influencers, Alyssa Scheel.
Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, this matters.
I know it does.
This is the headline story.
This is number one. This is what we should have led with. And Sydney, actually, I skipped one. I'll go back.
Now we got to cover this. This is the show title.
We're going to do this one. Sydney Nicole Gifford over accusations of copyright infringement and content copying, raising questions about intellectual property and creative ownership in the influencer economy. Both influencers, known for their neutral and minimal aesthetics, use Amazon's affiliate program to promote products to their followers, earning commissions for sales. Okay, no big deal. That's great. Gifford claims Scheel, I guess you pronounce it Scheel. It's S-H-E-I-L or is it Scheil?
It doesn't matter, man. Get to the core of this story. It's very important.
Anyway, One, Gifford, claims that the other one, Shia or Shiel, copied her video style and even personal details, leading to confusion among followers and financial losses. Shiel denies the allegations, arguing that the overlap stems from shared trends in Amazon's product promotion tools. In the case, which includes allegations of likeness misappropriation and torturous interference, could set a precedent for influencer content disputes. It also highlights industry challenges, including the lack of clear legal protections for influencers, the pressure to conform to trends, and the homogenization of content fueled by algorithms. It touches on racial dynamics as Shiel is a Black Latina, faces claims of imitating a white Hispanic's influencer's persona. How does that even make sense? I've got a Black Latina and a white Hispanic.
This needs to be untangled before we leave.
The dispute underscores the cutthroat nature of the influencer industry, where originality and ownership are difficult to define. The only reason why I put this in here is I thought it was ludicrous, not the singer, but ludicrous, as I've seen the setup between these two. They have similar aesthetics. They're using that minimalistic kind of pale whitish backgrounds and all of that. So they shoot all their videos in the same aesthetic style, but yet one is suing the other going, you copied me.
What are they, neighbors?
I don't know. I don't know where the, trying to see if it tells me where they are.
I think it's the word influencer that rubs me the wrong way.
That's fair. I mean, what would you use? Reviewer? See, that's what they used to be. I mean, they basically review products from what I understand.
Noisemaker. Useless. Sue me.
Yeah, I guess we've promised. Okay, so one of them is 21. Shiel, she's 21. They're bitching over the decor. You copied my background. You copied my aesthetic. You copied my decor.
They both ordered the same shit from Amazon.
The aggressively neutral aesthetic is wildly popular. It's so ubiquitous online that I might be the weird one for not liking it. This is the article. The minimalism is also aspirational. Millions of people have seen Giffords and Shiles videos, and thousands have likely purchased products from their affiliate links. What I was not prepared for, even after watching hours of their content online, was that it wasn't just their social media profiles that were monochrome. Their lives and their homes are exactly the same. It's like you grabbed the corners of your phone screen and expanded a TikTok video out into a world of neutrals. Ironically, there is color at Gifford's home today, albeit temporarily. On the afternoon I visit, she is filming content for an upcoming video on her favorite fall decor items. She pulls out a cardboard box of autumn products, some of which are new and some of which are from the year before. A soft orange throw blanket, pillows, and miniature stuffed pumpkins. If a product is no longer sold on Amazon, there is no reason to feature it in a video. People watching will just ask where it's from, and Gifford will have nowhere to send them to and no way to make money on the item. So, yeah.
Damn, Donovan, I'm not going to be able to sleep.
I know. I'm sorry. I am so, so sorry.
That was dramatic, thinking about those poor, useless people.
You now have PTSD. Okay, I'm not making fun of people that have PTSD. Let me back that up, because that's a serious thing. So, can we use the word shell shock anymore? Because that's what PTSD.
That's the same thing.
Yeah, I know it's the same thing, but okay. You've been triggered.
I've been influenced.
You've been influenced. Show title. I've been influenced.
We only have so many minutes alive.
And I just wasted a fair amount of them.
And
sorry.
Sorry if you just listened to all that. Well, that's the news. All right, there's got to be one more story.
We got two more.
We can't end on that.
We actually have two more stories. Okay. This one has nothing to do with us, but it's kind of far and wide-reaching. Australian Parliament banned social media for people under 16 with the world's first law that does this. So Australia has enacted a world-first law banning social media accounts for children under 16. Passed swiftly through Parliament, the law imposes fines up to $33 million U.S. on platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram for failing to enforce the ban. The legislation grants platforms 1 year to implement age verification measures, but prohibits requiring government IDs for compliance. Supporters, including Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, argue the law protects children from online harms, while critics highlight rushed implementation, potential privacy risk, and negative mental health impacts. Exemptions apply for educational and health platforms. Some believe the law will isolate vulnerable use, including LGBTQ plus individuals, while others commend it as overdue accountability for tech companies, and debate continues over its feasibility and broader implications for online safety and personal freedom. So here's what I don't understand.
How is it going to negatively affect that 13% of the alphabet?
I don't understand either because, okay, number one, I can see why they're doing what they're doing because the studies have proven.
Yeah, that's clear. I get
it. It's clear. Yeah. All right. So how's it going to have a negative effect on those groups of people?
On any part of that population.
Yeah. Exactly. Number two, how the fuck are you going to do some kind of age verification without requiring some form of ID? Do you have an idea on how you do that?
No.
I mean,
If I'm not allowed to go on Facebook when I'm 13, I'm just going to go surf porn.
Well, you can also lie.
Absolutely.
You can lie.
Use your mom's account when she...
I mean, my kids did. We knew it at the time. But then again, you know, back... This was early, early Facebook and social media. It was like any... Literally. And how... There's not a kid in the world that hasn't done this, I'm sure. You must be 13. What's your birthday? Well, I'm now 33.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? I mean, come on. This is fucking ridiculous. They're not going to be able to do it. And they've got a year to try to implement this.
So how much in a fine and who pays that?
$33 million and the platform.
Per occurrence? That's affordable.
I'm going to say it's probably per occurrence. It doesn't really say. But yeah, it's $50 million Australian AU or $33 million US. But yeah, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, if you don't enforce the ban.
Are like 25,000 euros.
Or 100,
roundabout.
150 million rubles. Oh, we're terrible. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do this. Could you imagine? I know that they're looking at this, but could you imagine trying to do that in the United States? I mean, look at what they already attempted to do with Pornhub. And all Pornhub does is you go there and it says...
There's a splash page.
I'm over 18. Click.
Yeah. It's the same way in the 90s when I was 15.
Yeah. I mean, the company that I buy Lee's wines from, wineinsiders.com, I drive up to the page. If I don't log in, it says, gives me a drop down. Select your state. Click a button that says, I'm 21. That's it. That's the only verification.
There is where I buy my sleepy time.
Mm-hmm.
They do an age verification that goes through some third party. And I think I put in a birth date and a name and a birth date, I think. Maybe a third piece of information.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back and it comes back. Okay. I don't know. Can't remember exactly what it is, but it's more than just click. Yeah, I'm over 21.
Right. I wonder how. I mean, short of giving them your social security number, and I am not giving any kind of social media company my social security number.
Yeah.
Because they already have it. But I mean, seriously, they probably do. But that's the thing. No, I'm not doing that. So I don't know how they're going to police this. I don't know how they're going to enforce it.
I have one kid under 16, but I'm just glad I'm beyond this. We dodged those bullets.
You're about done. Yeah. On that. Yeah. I mean, my youngest is 27, so I don't have to worry about it. Fucking old.
Well, we also live in the United States, so this law doesn't apply.
That is correct. It is Australian. Rah, U.S.
I don't think in the next 4 years we're going to see any.
I don't either. But now our 51st state, Canada, might. Anyway.
Yeah.
Last.
Somebody said, I don't mind them being a state. Can we get their health care? I think it was Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's get their health care at half the cost. And and then somebody else said, let's not make a mistake. We don't want them voting.
Well, I did
let's
see
make
where
it a province.
I did see where it was pointed out to Trump. It was like, you know, they're primarily liberal. And it was like, well, we'll just divide it in half and there'll be a liberal side and a conservative side. And I'm like, okay. All right, you crazy kid. Elon Musk's Twitter, because I refuse to call it X, is suing Amazon-owned Twitch for not advertising on the platform. This This is a continuation of something else.
In related news, I'm suing everyone, every business in this city who's not a customer of mine.
Exactly.
Yeah. You haven't signed a contract? I'm suing.
I'm going to double sue. Let's team up. Yep. We'll team up. We're going to sue.
What the shit is this about? I've not read it.
Okay. So Elon Musk has expanded his lawsuit against former advertisers now targeting Amazon on Twitch. The reason why I said this is a continuation of something he's already started.
Yeah.
So the lawsuit alleges that Twitch, alongside other members of the now defunct Global Alliance of Responsible Media, known as GARM, G-A-R-M, participated in an illegal boycott of Twitter starting in late 2022 following Musk's acquisition of the platform. Twitter claims Twitch stopped advertising on the platform in the U.S. as part of GARM's Brand Safety Standards Initiative. And despite GARM's dissolution, Twitter continues its legal battle, although it has dropped Unilever from the case after reaching a settlement. The lawsuit highlighting Twitter's ongoing struggle with declining ad revenue, which fell nearly 40% in early 2023. This decline worsened after Musk's controversial remarks and reports of ads appearing alongside extremist content. While some advertisers have returned, ad spending remains significantly below pre-boycott levels, with spending from top advertisers down 64% compared to 2022. And concurrently, Twitter faces declining user engagement and competition from platforms like Blue Sky and Threads, exacerbating its challenges in regaining advertiser trust and financial stability. So, did you know anything about the Global Alliance of Responsible Media?
I understood, I guess, before all the election bullshit kind of put me off course, I was aware that the advertisers had kind of unionized.
Right.
I wasn't aware that it had a name, but I knew that they were collectively pulling back from Twitter. And I seem to remember something about Elon kind of fighting them over that. I mean, did they sign a contract to advertise and then pull out of it? Or
see, what's
the reason, the basis for a lawsuit?
Exactly. That's what I don't understand. If it's a contractual obligation issue, then he has every right to sue.
Yeah.
But if it's not, if it's a month by month kind of thing.
Customer decided to walk away.
Yeah. I mean,
don't face a lawsuit every time I walk out empty handed from Walmart.
Well, I was going to say that'd be like, newspaper, but that'd be like radio stations or anything around here, or WALB suing us because we're not advertising our companies on their TV channel.
But in one podcast, we said we'd think about it, but we didn't. So they're suing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to actually. No, I don't. I don't care. I would like to know the basis for the lawsuit, because that is, it sounds strange.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to see if, because this is from Mashable. It says, according to official Twitter documents obtained by Bloomberg in June 2024, their revenue fell by nearly 40% the first half. We talked about that. This was before Musk infamously told advertisers to go fuck yourself in November of 2023. I mean, come on. The CEO, well, the owner, because he's got a CEO, literally tells the advertisers, if you don't want to advertise because I now own it, go fuck yourself. But yet he's going to turn around and sue them for not advertising on the platform that he told them to go fuck themselves on.
Maybe, just maybe, they did not actually fuck themselves.
Is that the reason why he sued
them? Maybe. They just chose nothing when he gave them two choices, advertise or fuck yourself. They did neither. Maybe that's the basis for the lawsuit.
Oh, God. He said that after a number of major brands like Disney and Apple stopped advertising in response to Musk's endorsement of an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory and a report revealing ads being displayed alongside Nazi content on the platform.
I believe it.
Yeah. Regardless of how Twitter's lawsuit against Twitch, Mars, CVS Health, and other former coalition members of GARM unfolds, his company faces numerous ad revenue challenges in the months ahead. Okay. I'm not a lawyer. Don't even play one. You know, that's what Legal Eagle's for. But if there's no contract in place, there's no such thing as an illegal boycott. You know, if I decide that I want to drum up support to boycott Walmart, which good fucking luck, but let's say I do, and it drops, I'm doing the local store, let's say,
Yeah.
You know, I get 1,000 people and we decide that we're no longer going to shop there. And they see a drop of 0.00002% in their monthly revenue. That's not an illegal boycott.
What would define what would make a boycott illegal?
Illegal. I don't understand. I mean, a boycott by its mere nature is legal.
Some team of lawyers somewhere thinks that there's a case, or they're just on retainer, need something to do.
That's probably it.
The election's over.
They need something to do.
Need something to do.
God.
I don't know.
I don't understand it.
These are the days. What else?
All right. Well, that's it. We'll never get those minutes back from that other story. And
I pray for you girls.
I would if I prayed.
Probably in Florida.
I mean, I don't know. That's a kind of aesthetic. I don't think you'll see that in Florida. I'm not going to dig in and find out. I don't care that much.
That kind of aesthetic you described, they're in Estonia.
It could be.
Or, I don't know.
All right, let's get out of here. Questions or comments, send your emails to podcast@southgeeknews.com. You can call or leave a voicemail, or you can send a text. That number is 229-234-1307. 229-234-1307. If you would like access to our members-only bonus content, it's measly $5 per month, and I decided that I'm no longer going to release it free at all. I was releasing it free like up to like 7 days after, but I was like, what's the point? You know, if you want it that badly, you want to hear the discussion that we had previously about alcohol, then you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, we had a pretty good pre-show today.
Yeah.
Because I showed up early.
Yeah.
It looks like we're still getting out about the same time.
I noticed that too. I was like, I even told my wife, I said, yeah, he asked if he could come early. I said, I'm fine with it. We can get the show done and I can get in the house. And no. Yeah,
this is, we're hitting Joe Rogan length now.
Yeah. Well, before I cut it all down, we're looking at 2 hours and 15 minutes on the
recording. Yeah, we're getting close.
Yeah, we're getting close. So anyway, if you want that members only content, $5 a month, be a member, you'll get it. You'll get a special private RSS feed just for you and your podcast app of choice. But that's going to wrap up the show for me and for Ben. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yep.
For another episode. I'm not even going to bother looking at the calendar. That
would be December 18.
December 18. All right. That works. December the 18th. We'll be back then. So everybody, have a good whatever. I mean, next time we'll say have a good
lull between holidays.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Ta-ta.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
This has been a production of Tifton Media Works. Check out all our podcasts by visiting tiftonmediaworks.com.